2 Chronicles chapter 20, we got a great story about the power of praise. Our main character in this story is going to be the King Jehoshaphat. He's going to have some enemies coming down and getting ready to fight against him. You'll see that. And I'm not going to tell you the end of the story. We're kind of going to read through it as we go. But here's what I want you to get. I want you to realize how powerful praise is. We sang some songs of praise tonight. And when we say praise, I believe we ought to praise and worship God. But let me just clarify this. I don't believe that there's a genre of music that's called praise and worship. I'm not against praise and worship, but I don't believe we ought to bring rock and roll into our praise and worship. We've been teaching on that over the last few weeks. So when I'm teaching about praise and singing praise songs and things like that, that's exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't mean you have to get the band out. It doesn't mean we have to lower our standards in the area of music. And I think we still ought to be separated from the world. And we ought to praise. We ought to worship God. We're going to see that happening. In fact, we ought to do it a whole lot more than we do. It and I want you to see it tonight, and I want you to see what happens when God's people praise Him. We say praise Him, praise Him. And Sunday nights, I love coming to church on Sunday nights. I sang tonight, I sang just about as good as I could till I started getting blurry eyed, and I thought, well, maybe I better back off just a little bit. You know, when your eyes start bulging when you're singing as loud as you can, and you just think, well, maybe that's a little too much. Dial it back just a touch. I don't want to get a headache or anything before I preach or anything. But I like to sing it out. I like to praise God, give it everything that I've got. And let me encourage you to do the same thing. You're going to get so much more out of a service when you come. If you know the songs, sing them out. If you don't know the songs, stick around a little while. You'll learn them. They're not too hard to learn. And they're for the most part, pretty simple. And they'll sing it out. Sing it out to the Lord. Remember, you're singing it to Him. I want you to look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. Part of it is going to be singing praise. Part of it is just going to be the words that are said in praise to God. So here we go. Here's the story. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Here's the setting of the story. Judah's about to be attacked by an alliance of enemy armies. You've got Moab. You've got the Ammonites. You've got part of Syria. And they're all coming down to Judah to attack them. Judah is where the city of Jerusalem was. This is where the king would reign. And this is where the southern part of the kingdom of Israel, the part that has not separated up into the northern part. And so you've got the king of Judah, his people, about to be attacked by enemy armies. Not just one enemy army, but by multiple enemy armies. There's three armies coming in, and some of these you'll recognize, specifically Syria. There's still war going on now between Syria and Israel. There's still tensions in that same area. So just because it's a Bible story, just because it happened long ago, doesn't make it any less real. It's just as real. It was just as real as it is today. Judah is scared. Jehoshaphat is scared. He's the king. He's so scared, he goes to the temple and he begins to pray. And I want you to look at verse number 5, and I want you to peek in as we see him praying. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. This is the temple. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Incline, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And I want you to notice, in this prayer, it's not a private prayer, this is a public prayer, he's praising God. Now, these are questions he's asking God. He's going to go in and he's going to ask God for protection. He's going to ask God to help them, to protect them from these enemies, to help them win this battle. But before they even go to battle, he begins his prayer by publicly praising God. Did you catch that in those verses there? I won't read them the exact words, but he says, you're the God of our fathers. You're the God in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen. You're so powerful that no one can stand up against you. You drove the inhabitants out of this land. You gave this land to the children of Abraham. And over, statement after statement, he's praising God for what God has done. And I want you to see, first of all, this is public praise. We're going to see a lot of praise as we go through here. But right here, right at the very beginning, as Jehoshaphat, he's scared, he's surrounded by the enemy, and he goes to God, and the first thing he does is he praises God for who God is and for what God has done in the past. What a great pattern for prayer. As we go into prayer, it's so good to remember to praise God for what he's done. Jehoshaphat began with this public praise. I want to challenge you to praise God in many areas, but first of all, praise God for what he's done in the past. If you ever wonder, what could I praise God for? I want to praise God. I'd like to have the same results Jehoshaphat did. How can I praise God? Well, think about what he's done in the past. We don't do this very often, but maybe once or twice a year, we'll have a testimony service. Whenever I was a kid, we had a lot of testimony services at church, and the same people would stand up and say the same testimony, and the same ladies, you know, first of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for my salvation, and I would, you know, discount that, but now, wait, stop, just a moment. I'd like to thank the Lord for my salvation. We usually say that before we go into everything else. But wait a minute, if we're to stop and think about what God has done for us in the past, isn't that the greatest thing that's ever happened? Our salvation. Thank the Lord that he died on the cross. He paid the price for our sins, and he saved us. And I love to hear whenever we do that, somebody say, this is when I got saved, and I'd like to thank God for saving me at this point. And I love whenever we're talking, and whether it's in front of everybody or it's just a few people and we're talking, whenever we can be reminded of when God saved us, so we can think back to that. What a great story that is. If you can't remember all the details, you don't have to remember all the details. Just remember, I'm saved. I want to thank God for saving me. Thank God for what he's done for us in the past. Jehoshaphat did that here right at the very beginning. As I was getting ready for this sermon, I came across a message that I'd preached back in June of 2009. That was almost exactly 1 year after God allowed us to buy this building. 2009, I mean, it's been a while ago. It's 2017 now, a little over eight years ago. And I was looking through that and I thought, wow. God sure has been good to us. I pulled some of that sermon out. I copied it and pasted it in here. I want to read this to you. This is from June 2009. I want to praise God for what he's done in the past. And this is how it started. What's happening here at New Heights Baptist Church is impossible. It's nothing short of an amazing miracle. You just can't buy a property worth nearly $1 million with $5,000 in the bank and almost no assets. What God did here was a miracle. You can't buy a house for that. We had nothing. Well, we did have something. We had $5,000. And we used all of that. We put it down in earnest money. We couldn't find a loan. We couldn't find anybody that would lend to us. But God worked in an amazing way. Let me just read this to you, if I can do that without getting too excited about it. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. This is part of that sermon. Over the last few years, we've learned much about God doing the impossible. When we look at where we started and where we are now, we must conclude that this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. We went into the victory banquet. That was the very first stewardship banquet we ever had. We did that in 2008, I believe. March of 2008. No, was it March? May have been actually June of 2008. We went into the victory banquet with an excited anticipation of what God would do through his people. After the offering was counted, we learned that God's people, this was our church and other churches that they wanted to help us out as well, other families, had sacrificially given $63,351.10. God did it. Now you've got to remember, in those days, our church was 60 people. Well, actually, it was 80 people at that point. This is when we were still meeting in the storefront location, in the rental property. We had 80 people coming to church. When we moved here, we grew to 60 people. But that's who it was. That's who God allowed to help with this. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. At the victory banquet, we committed and we took up an offering of one-year commitment. So we gave $63,000. God brought that in, and we were thrilled to have $59,394 committed over the next year. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And over that year, $55,000 was given. A total of 59 families and individuals working together to accomplish something great for God raised over $120,000. We need to get in the habit of asking great things from God. And then when he answers, saying, God did it. This is from that sermon in 2008. What a great reminder of how God has worked and how we can praise him for what he's done in the past. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. That's what missionary William Carey said. God did it. He gave us a building that was not for sale. He provided financing, even though a bank would not lend us enough money. He provided the money for the down payment, even though we're not a church of wealthy people. He worked a miracle for us, even though we're sinful people. And as I pulled up that sermon and I read it, I thought, wow, God has done some great things. If you would have been here at the time, let me go back with you just a little bit. We were in the storefront, and the landlord came and said, we're not going to renew your lease. We were about 80 people. I started going everywhere. I know I've told you this story before. I'll just do it very briefly. I started going to churches asking them if they were interested in selling their building. That's where I was. I was nervous and scared. We had too many people to meet in our garage or our living room, but not enough people to really afford anything. It was kind of a weird place. We had about $5,000. That was about it. And then God worked, and God provided this place for us in a miraculous way. And he provided a Christian that we barely even knew that wanted to invest in the kingdom of God. So he lent us the money. We were able to, an amazing thing, for $650,000 purchase of this property that was worth $1 million or more. And it was God that did it. And we only had $5,000. Did I say that already? I mean, this is an amazing thing that God did. And what I want you to understand is, as Jehoshaphat is praising God, he's praising God for what he has done. You're God of our fathers. You're the God in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the earth and over the heathen. And you're the one that gave us this land. You're the one that drove off the enemies. And now we're asking for your protection. Praise God for what he's done in the past. And then praise God for what he's done for you personally. You know, it's great to praise God for what he's done for somebody else, and you ought to. But when God works in your life, and he does something in your life that you can personally praise God for, it just brings a whole new dimension, if I can say it that way, a whole new meaning to praising God. Let me give you an example. You know the story of Horatio Spafford. He's the one that wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. His family was traveling by boat, and the boat sank, and his family, most of his family died in that boat accident, I believe it was over the Atlantic Ocean. As he was sailing back over at about that same place, he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. What an amazing testimony of how, even though through great loss, everything was still okay between him and God. He said, everything's okay because it is well with my soul. I'm saved. I know I've lost a lot, but my soul is fine. My soul is okay because I'm saved because of what God did for me. And he wrote that. There's this amazing song of praise to God. And I love the song, and I love the words of the song. The problem with it wasn't my song. That's his song. That's him praising God. I can sing the same words, but it was him praising God for what God did in his life. Whenever God works in your life, and you can say, God, thank you for what you've done in my life. When you pray a prayer and God answers your prayer, and you can go to God and praise him, God, I praise you for what you've done in answering my prayer. I don't want to just sing another man's praise. I want to sing about what God has done for me. John Newton praised God by writing a song about what God did for him. That song, you know it, is called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch is a dirty, rotten sinner, like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I can apply his song to my life, and I can sing his song, his praise. But I want to sing about what God has done for me. I want to sing a new song that's special from me to God. And I'm not a good singer, and I'm not a songwriter. But maybe I should be. I don't know, maybe I should go out and write a song. It doesn't have to sell any, but just between me and God. Wouldn't it be great just to go out and spend some time? I like walking when I'm praying. There's a couple different places around here that I like to walk and I like to pray. And I like to go out and just because if I sit down and pray, I'll fall asleep. I'm just being honest with you. I'll kneel and pray. I've got a place in my office, and I'll kneel and pray. But I love to walk and pray. I love just to spend time with God and walk and to pray. And it's so special to be able to go out and just spending time with God and walking and praying and praise Him for what He's done in my life. Praise Him for what He's done in others' lives as well. But praise God for what He's done for you personally. I want to challenge you about this. Praise God for what He's done for you recently. Praise God about what He's done for you recently. Just a quick thought. Don't forget the past, but don't live there. Keep pushing the limits for God and keep asking Him to come through in miraculous ways. Keep praying and getting answers to your prayers and keep living in such a way that you have something new to praise God for today. I don't want to just live on the miracle that God did 8 years ago putting us in this place. I've got some new miracles today. We've got a whole bunch of guests that came to church today. We have people that heard the gospel today for the first time. There's a young girl got saved in junior church today. That is so exciting. I can praise God for something that happened today. I don't have to just praise God for what He did for Horatio Spafford and praise God for what He did for John Newton. And I don't have to just praise God for providing way in the past. Remember to praise God for what He's doing in your life now. And I mentioned this. Keep pushing the limits for Him. Keep pushing the limits. Keep doing more for God. Keep praying and keep praying for those big things and let God keep answering. And as God keeps answering, you can keep having more to praise Him for. So here's what Jehoshaphat does. He praises God publicly. He praises Him for what He's done in the past. He praises Him for who He is. He praises Him and He does it publicly. I want you to do a couple more verses that are really important to the story, then we're going to move on. Look at chapter 20. Look at verse 11. This is still Jehoshaphat's prayer. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He's talking about the enemies. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What a great statement. We don't know what to do, God, but we're looking towards you. Our eyes are upon thee. You lead us. We'll do what you tell us to do. Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Everybody was there. The whole families came out, kind of like you're here tonight. Their family was there, and they were coming toward God, and they said, God, we don't know what to do. We're going to look to you. We're going to praise you for what you've done, but we need you in a big way now. All Judah was there, their little ones, their wives, and their children. Look at verse number 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The sons of Asaph, if you go back to Psalms, you realize these are the singers. These are the people that were set aside to be the musicians, the ones that led the praise to God. Son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You've got this prayer. Jehoshaphat's praying, and he praises God publicly. And then the Spirit of God comes upon this man, and he tells him, you need to go out and fight this war. God is going to win this war for you. In fact, you're not even going to have to fight. Just go out. The Lord's going to take care of you. Now look what happens. And I want you to see, not just public praise, but now I want you to see the power of praise. This is my favorite part of the story. Look at chapter 20, and look at verse number 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now stop here for just a moment. You've got to get the scene. Jerusalem is surrounded by the enemy. They're about to be wiped out. Three enemies coming against this city of Jerusalem, Judah. The prophet came and he said, or the man of God came and said, go out and go out to the battle. You're not going to have to fight. Jehoshaphat trusts God. And he says, okay, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to send the singers in front of the army. Now, you send the army first, right? Or the Marines, right? Is Brother Vaughn here tonight? You send the ones with the weapons first. You clear the path, and then you send the choir. You don't send the choir first, right, Brother Reed? But he did it different. He said, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to set people out in front, and they're going to lead the battle, and they are going to go out praising God. Did you see what they're saying? It's in verse number 21. You're going to go out in front. You're going to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. You're just going to go out in front of the army, and you're going to praise God. This is as crazy as Joshua walking around Jericho. Do you remember when Joshua walked around Jericho? The first seven times, six days, they walked around and they didn't say a thing. He told them to be silent. Just walk around the wall, don't say a thing. That would have been really hard, walking around the whole wall, not saying anything. I've thought about this as a kid. Whenever I heard the story, I would have wanted to whisper something to somebody, and it would have been so hard not to talk. But they were quiet the whole time, bro. But on the seventh day, they were to march seven times around the wall. And they're supposed to be quiet, except that last time around the wall, if I remember the story right. That last time he said, blow the trumpets and praise God. And when they did that, the walls fell down flat. The power of praise. You may remember Paul and Silas. They were thrown in the prison. It's Acts chapter 16. They're thrown in prison for preaching. And the Bible says about midnight, they lifted up their voices and sang. They were praising God, and an earthquake came and freed them, broke all the chains, and everybody was free, opened the door. The power of praising God. So Jehoshaphat, he didn't know the story about Paul and Silas yet. It hadn't happened yet, but he knows something that I don't know where he knows it from. He knows the power of praising God. He puts the singers out in front. They're going to go out and they're going to praise God first. And look what happens in verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Who fought the battle? Judah. It wasn't Jehoshaphat's army. It was God that fought the battle. And when did God fight the battle? And when they began to sing and praise. God loves when we praise him. It's all through the Bible that God rewards the praise of his people. Jehoshaphat appointed the singers to go in front of the army. And then when they began to sing and praise, God fought for them. Wow. You see public praise. You see the power of praise. Now, we've got to apply this to our lives. We'll get to some motives here in just a moment. You may not be fighting the Ammonites and the Moabites and the children of Seir. It may be somebody else that's causing problems in your life. We all have issues. We all have battles. They're not that kind of a battle. But every one of us, we're struggling with some. There's spiritual battles. It just, we're in the middle of it. You're raising a family. You've got battles. You've got kids. You've got battles. If you're married, you've got battles, right? We're going to sing for our marriage retreat. We're thinking of singing, "The Fight Is On, No Christian Soldier." You know, theme songs are important for everything we do. But if you're married, you understand there's struggles because there's two sinful people that are married to each other. We got to make this thing work. We're all fighting battles. There's struggles all around us. I want to say that praising God is a wonderful way to get God involved in the battles. What are some motivations for praise? I'm just going to give you two. First of all, I want you to realize we need to praise God for His promises. Before this battle was ever fought, look at verse number 19 with me. Before the battle was ever fought, God promised that He was going, that they were going to be able to go win the battle. Remember, the word of the Lord came to that man. He's one of the sons of Asaph. And he said, it was in verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." That was the promise. They haven't fought the battle yet. The very next verse, look who's praising God. Verse 19. "And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." They're praising God for the victory and they haven't even fought the battle yet. Why? Because you can praise God for His promises. There are so many promises that God has given us that you can praise God for. The Levites praised God after He told them He would help them. He hasn't fought the battle yet. The victory's not been won yet, but they're praising God already, and it's because of the promise of God. I can praise God about heaven even though I'm not already there because of the promises of God about heaven. I can praise God about eternal life. I can praise God about forgiveness of sin, and I haven't experienced all the benefits of that yet. One of these days we'll be in heaven with God, and I don't know how much looking back we're going to do, but we'll look back and we'll be able to praise God for all of that. But you can praise Him for it now based on His promises. You can praise God for what we would call assurance. I know, because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I will spend eternity in heaven, even though I'm not there yet. Why? The promises of God. I can praise God for heaven. I can praise God for eternal life. I can praise God for all of the wonders of that based just on His promise, just like the Levites did. The man of God came and he said, "You just go out. You don't even have to fight the battle. God's going to fight it for you." And they started praising God. Here's some promises. I just wrote down three. There's so many more. I love this one. It's my favorite verse. It's my life verse. Ever since I knew that I needed a life verse, and I picked it. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a great promise that is. How about this one? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We mentioned that one this morning in the message. It's one of my favorites. "For whosoever," anybody, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a promise. You know, you can praise God for that promise. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm saved. I haven't experienced the benefits of eternal life yet. I believe eternal life starts the moment you get saved, but I haven't experienced the other side of Jordan yet, all right? Haven't crossed over yet, but one of these days I will. One of these days you will. I can praise God now for that promise. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," based on the promise of God. "Call unto me." I love this one. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." A prayer promise. I can praise God for Him answering prayers, even though He's not answered all my prayers yet. One of these days, I guess our praying will be done. I don't know that there's any need to pray in heaven. I'll figure that one out when we get there, okay? I don't know. One of these days, I'll be able to look back and say, all my prayers have been answered. I'm all done with that. But now I can't. I'm right in the middle of it. You're right in the middle of it. And you're thinking, okay, God's answered some of my prayers. There's a whole lot of them that haven't been answered. But you can say the promise of God. You can praise Him for answering prayers because He's promised that He will answer. Praise God for His promises. There's so many more promises you can praise Him for. How about this? Praise God for the victories that He has won. They praised God going into the battle, But I want to remind you to praise God on the other side of the battle. Praise Him for the victories that He has won. Look at verse number 27. We're not going to go into all the details of the rest of the battle there. You can read those later if you'd like to. But at verse 27, we'll pick up the story. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. What are they doing? They're praising God for the victories that God had just won. The people praised God after He won the battle. Look at verse 29. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Israel didn't fight. Judah didn't fight. Jerusalem didn't fight. The Lord God fought. And the Bible teaches us that the Lord God fought when the people began to praise Him. I just want you to realize tonight, and we're done, but I just want you to realize the power of praising God. We pray, and you ought to pray, and we'll thank God for when He answers the prayers, but are we people who praise Him? I'm glad to, Brother Reed, thank you for those songs tonight that you chose for singing tonight. They're so perfect. Praising God for what He's done. Let's keep praising Him. But you don't have to know the song in the hymn book to praise God. You can just praise God. It doesn't have to be a song. It could just be you talking to God, praising God. It could be you just by yourself. It could be out loud. It could be quiet. It could be you telling somebody else about what God has done. One of my favorite phrases since God gave us this building is, God did it. I love that phrase. I think it praises God. God did it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. I mean, God allowed us to be part of what He was doing and He used us, but He is the one that did it. So let's praise God for who He is. Let's praise God for His promises. Let's praise God for what He's done in the past. Let's praise God for what He's done recently. Let's praise God for the victories He has won. And let's just be a people that praises God. Father, I pray that You would bless this message tonight. We live in a challenging world. We live in a world with so much negative and so much defeat. I just want to be reminded of all Your promises and all that You've done. You've done amazing things. And Lord, when we forget to praise You for those really big miracles, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to remember to praise You for the things we sometimes take for granted. Our life, our health, families, friends, the things that You've provided for us. And Lord, I pray that tonight would simply be a challenge to us, and I pray that we would accept the challenge, and we would take it, and we would become people that praise You. I know You love praise. You said that You inhabit the praises of Israel. And Lord, I know You love when we praise You. Lord, I pray that each of us would understand this, and we would get this, and we would work into our lives to praise You. Praise You publicly. Praise You privately. Praise You for what You've done. Praise You for what You will do. Praise You for those victories.